Hey there, I'm Bill DeYoung. This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst, and welcome once again. We're joined today by two members of the company over at Lab Theater Project on Henderson Avenue in Ybor City, right on the border of Tampa and Ybor. And it's a very cool place. We're happy to have with us again Owen Robertson, who is the founder and
executive producer.
And head honcho and all that stuff. And thanks for being with us. Also joining us is Mandy Kane, who is in the current production of Fly Away Home. I've seen you in a couple of shows over there. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are here to talk about Fly Away Home. Owen is acting in it, by the way. So if you know him with his usual sort of beard, he's clean shaven on this, and he looks so much like Frank Lloyd Wright. I just can't stand it. One of the things that that really struck me wonderfully about this show was that, like a lot of great historical fiction, it bookends it with something that happened, and then ends it with something that happened. Now we're not going to talk about the ending today, but we will certainly discuss the beginning,
sure,
which is that it's 1914, am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, and Wright's house in suburban, I want to say very rural, Wisconsin, is on fire.
Correct.
And then there's the ending, but the playwright, whose name is, of course, Gwendolyn Rice, thank you, imagines the train ride from Chicago where Wright is.
No, actually, the train ride's real.
Okay, well, she imagines what happens on the train.
Yeah, that's the fabrication.
Well, that's what I mean. The train ride really happened. I think that's like a brilliant conceit, sort of saying, okay, well, we have these historical moments.
Right.
What happened in the middle? Tell me who the gentleman is that Wright is
right.
seated with.
So Wright is trapped on this train with Edwin Cheney, who is the ex-husband of his mistress. And they're trapped together for 6 hours on this train from Chicago out to Spring Green.
And they're in a private car, so it's not like there's a bunch of
there's nowhere for them to go.
You know, tourists and bums and hobos hanging around with them. And
correct.
So nobody really knows what they talked about.
Correct.
So Rice imagines this.
Yep.
They are joined in this car by Mandy's character, whose name is Mary Evelyn Brooks, who's a plucky young reporter from the Chicago Tribune. I imagine, did she actually exist, or did Rice make her up out of whole cloth just to get the story moving? You know?
Mary Evelyn is fabricated, but pretty much she wanted, from what I understand, she thought it would be very interesting to see it from the reporter's perspective, because there were so many tabloids and gossip in the papers about Frank Lloyd Wright and his mistress, Mamaw Borthwick.
Yeah, well, let's put it out there. Wright's an eccentric character.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of a jerk in this play, but, you know, that's genius.
He was a jerk in real life.
He
was. That's not just in this play. He was everything that we ascribe sometimes to the eccentrics and the geniuses and everything like that. He just was intolerant of many things.
There's a lot of Thomas Edison in him, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, there's a lot of Thomas Edison, for sure.
But what about Cheney? What's like his story? I mean, he's an engineer.
Nothing known about Cheney.
Seriously.
There's very, very little known about Cheney.
So Larry Corman makes this up out of whole cloth. He does a great job.
And he pulls a lot of it, and you know, from what we could, and you know, in talking with the playwright actually was a docent at the Lloyd Wright Museum in Wisconsin.
She was able to, she understood the man.
Yeah.
To some degree. We were just looking at, Florida Southern College here in Lakeland that has a whole bunch of Wright buildings over there.
Yeah, their whole theater is a Frank Lloyd Wright building.
This guy was prolific in his day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's just thousands of structures around this country. Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that Mary Evelyn is kind of, I don't know what the theatrical word is, you can probably tell me, but she drives a wedge in there and plants herself in. And
theatrically,
is kind of the,
she's called the catalyst.
The catalyst. Hey, how about that, Joe Hamilton? She's the catalyst. she makes the action happen, and it's a fascinating story. Tell me why, Owen. We've talked about this sort of thing many times, but why a show like this is part of the manifesto of what Lab does.
So, whenever we're looking at everything, obviously, you know, like you said, we have talked about it. Our key thing is looking for, tell me a good story. That's going to be that's my mantra for any script I look at.
Yeah.
And when we got this, we looked at this, was like, this is a really cool story. It's got the historical aspect and everything with it. And then it's got this incredible twist at the end of it. And it makes it just really compelling, and it moves really fast.
It does. And one of the reasons it moves really fast is because it takes place on a train car.
Right, right.
And
right.
The train car, folks, actually moves. I mean, it's not going the whole time, but you have to go and see it to see how this works. But I digress, as they say. It really is, nobody's ever seen this show before.
No, with every show at Lab.
Yeah, and tell me again, we've gone over it many times, but tell me again why you do that.
So, when I started the company, the idea was to provide a path for new works because there really are very, very few theaters in the country that are dedicated strictly to new work. And as a playwright myself, I wanted to create a place for us. And so I started doing that. And I started, of course, with, at this time I was doing it while doing my MFA in playwriting. And so the first few plays we did were part of my cohort. But then over time, word's gotten out and we've gotten around and stuff. So, we're now averaging, close to 200 submissions a year and coming from all over the world. We get playwrights submitting from Australia, New Zealand, China, Costa Rica, Ukraine, all kinds of stuff.
And so that way, when the show goes around the world and becomes world famous, it says first performed at Lab Theater
Project. As a matter of fact,
in New York City, Florida.
We just did Sid, which Mandy was in.
Right.
And the playwright just published it with Lab Theater on that opening page, and there it is.
Now, to play devil's advocate, again, something we've talked about before.
Sure.
You could do probably phrased it this exact way. You could do the best of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Good.
And, sometimes I've been to Lab when it was absolutely full. I've been there where there were not that many folks in there. I mean, couldn't you hedge your bets by saying, if I need to make money, I'm going to put on something that has name recognition?
I could, but I wouldn't be true to who we are, and I wouldn't be true to the mission and sticking to it. And so, we're coming up, we're in our ninth season. We're going into our 10th,
That's pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, when we've held true to who we are. So I'd say, there's at least enough support to say, what we do matters and people think it matters. Do I want more people? Yes. If you hear my voice, come on down and see us. I promise it is an immersive event, an immersive experience to come down and see Fly Away Home or see any show at Lab. It's not your typical theater.
I thought the way the stage was set up was very clever because we were talking about the railroad car that moves, but the audience, it's almost in the round. I guess it's more like in the rectangle.
More thrust type stage.
Yeah, okay. And it does move. And not only does the car move, but the action moves. And you are literally in the middle of it.
Right.
I was curious watching it. Did Bryce, is that part of her instruction? Do it this way? Or that was all you?
Yeah. Katie Callahan, the director, came to me and said, I want a train car that moves. And I went, okay. And so worked it out and figured out how to do that. And then we kind of, as we expanded thinking about things, we said, well, where are we going to put the beginning of the show? And so it became what it became.
So
it's not the first time Lab's done it, but it's the first time in this space. When we were in our old space, Silver Meteor, we did a couple of shows there where we did the similar conceit. Put the audience. We actually did one show. We actually had the audience up on the stage with us.
Why did Katie insist on? He says as he stutters, insist on having a moving train car. I mean that's
interesting. She didn't insist on that.
She said,
she said, I want a train car. I said, let's make it move. To help convey time, to convey passage of time within the play.
But you could have done it without that. It would have been a little cheaper, I suppose,
It would have been a lot less work,
sure.
but it wouldn't have helped tell the story. And part of the job that we have at Lab is to tell the playwright's story, and that's through set, through lights, costume, every aspect of it.
Yeah.
And so part of the way the set helps tell the story is being able to move so that we show movement of the train.
What's interesting, what was interesting to me certainly about the action of the play is that all three of the major characters are somewhat duplicitous. They all have their own agenda, if you will. I mean, including Larry's character, Mr. Chaney. There is a fourth character who's played by
Zach Finley,
who kind of comes in and out. He's a train conductor. He's a lot of stuff, aren't you, Zach? But he comes in and out. But it's mostly these three people in the train car, and that's just fad. That's like Hitchcock's Rope. All the action takes place right here,
right?
But then it moves, and fascinating. But I think that I liked the fact that it bounces around so much between. Oh, she's telling the truth. No, she's not. Oh, Wright's an upright guy. No, he's not really. You know, Cheney's got an agenda, and it keeps you interested. It keeps you fascinated. Mandy, let's chat about first. Let's talk about Sid, which is I think where I first saw you, which was a really really great performance.
Thank you.
And a great show and a wonderful cast. What's your story? I mean, you're from Tampa.
Well, I'm originally from Polk County, Bartow. Mm-hmm. South of Lakeland,
sort of near the Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah,
College.
So I grew up knowing that was built by Frank Lloyd Wright, designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. I went to Harrison School for the Arts in Lakeland. That's where I sort of bit my teeth in theater. And then I went on to the University of South Florida. I got a degree in psychology and English.
Why?
You know, I still don't know the answer to that, but I sort of didn't know what I want. I didn't know if I wanted to keep pursuing theater or not. I knew in my heart that was my passion, but I kind of wanted to expand my base of knowledge and sort of get some more experience, see what was out there. So I picked two very broad
degrees. And have a fallback in case you fell on your ass.
Exactly.
And theater didn't work out.
Exactly. Yeah. I graduated there and I decided I'll move to LA and see what happens. And then out there I studied at, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, UCB.
That's right. I read that in your bio.
Yeah. So I got, you know, a lot of training in improv, which I sort of felt had a love for that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then, as so many people did during the pandemic, decided to move back home, be closer to family. And I decided that, you know what, I'm going to go back to the stage, back to the theater.
Those degrees ever come in handy?
Oh, they come in handy all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't regret it one bit. I mean, especially for theater.
Getting inside characters. I can
exactly,
see that.
Exactly,
sure,
yeah.
Sure, sure, sure. What would have happened, let's say, if the pandemic hadn't dropped the big curtain? Would you just stay in L.A. and you wanted that's a dog-eat-dog world for actors out there? What would you have done, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe I would have stayed. Maybe not. The L.A. is a hard city to survive in.
Uh-huh. So I hear, yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of great things about L.A. I loved my time out there, but I really do love Florida. It's my home. Maybe I'm biased because it's my home, but but it's just beautiful down here. And there's a lot of great theater in Tampa. Great theater scene.
Of course there is. And it's my segue. It's my awkward segue. What brought you to Lab? What sort of said, I want to see what these, cause this is your third show there.
Yes.
So what are these guys up to? How did that happen?
Well, I decided to go last year to the Unified auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call back for, Owen called me back for The Heirs of Pretending, which is the first show I did at Lab.
That's a Jared Everline?
Yeah.
Jared.
And then I sort of, during that production, I loved the mission of Lab.
Yeah.
I loved that they were doing world premieres every time. Every time I do a character, I have to build it from scratch, which to me is a challenge, but it's so rewarding.
Cool, yeah.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, not that many people get to say they've been in a world premiere.
Sid was a cool show.
Oh yeah.
And I'm stuttering again. I think I wrote. I mean, it really had to do a lot for me with the fact that the cast was so good, all of you. You know, your parents and the other couple, you know, who were really weird. And, you know, not the actors, the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
So that show's gone. She's published that now?
He's published it, yeah. Craig.
Oh, Craig. I'm sorry. It's Craig Houck. Of course. I met him there. Yeah. Of course.
So it's published and it's out there.
I like Craig. He's a nice cat.
He's
super, super nice guy. Yeah, we're for 10th season, we're looking at another one of it.
Is this the last show in this season?
No. We run on a calendar season. So,
oh, yes.
So we're January to December. So we've got two more, three technically. We've got Lab Laughs, which is going to be our annual comedic shorts.
Yeah.
That comes up in July. And then we've got Pear, which will come up in September. It's a Swedish name, Pear.
Oh, there you go.
It's actually, it's a really cool thing. It's our first genuine psychological thriller horror. The foundation of the play by Donald Loftus is the final beheading in Sweden.
Legal. A real picker-upper.
Oh, it's a psychological thriller, and it really, really is. But it's a cool play.
Wow.
But it is creepy, creepy. I wrote Creating Monsters. That was the story of Mary Shelley's Creating a Frankenstein.
Yeah, so when you're talking about creepy, are you doing Pear during Halloween season?
No, we're going to do Pear in September. Mm. But right before that's Lab Laughs. That's in July. That's our comedic shorts. And then in November, we are closing the season with a black comedy murder mystery sort of play called Crazy Quilts.
Oh, yeah.
And that's actually the playwright herself gives it the Steel Magnolias meets Strangers in a Train.
Oh, that works.
Yeah.
What about Lab Laughs? I always wanted to ask you about this.
Sure.
I mean, are these written shorts? Is this improv?
These are unpublished shorts. So we still hold true to our mission. It's got to be an unpublished work, unperformed.
Yeah.
We get them from all over. This year, I think we've got seven shorts. Two of them are from Canada, and then the rest are within the United States. Yeah, we draw them, we put out there a call for it, and we usually, we get anywhere from, 100 to a couple hundred shorts sent to us. And now, we filter through them, and we pick out what we think are the best.
As we were saying, I met Craig Houck after Sid. Do the playwrights often come down to see the production?
It's becoming more common.
Yeah.
For example, Gwen's going to be down here Friday. This coming week, she'll be here, and she'll be doing a talk back with us.
Oh, that's great.
So if you're listening.
May 10th is tonight, because our podcast come on Friday. So Gwendolyn Rice is going to be there tonight.
She sure is. If you want the chance to hear how the play was created and hear how Lab works and what this play is all about and what the playwright went through to create it, come on down and see the show. Lab Theater Project, 812 East Henderson Avenue. Show starts at 8 o'clock at night. The talkback is immediately following the show.
Well, Fly Away Home is on stage is it live through the 19th? Or does that include your...
So Fly Away Home's live through the 19th.
Your virtual
and then
stuff.
We do something unique to Lab. We do an on-demand portion of it. So we start the on-demand the week prior to closing of the live performances, and it runs through, this one will run through the 31st of May.
You get a lot of reaction to that?
Some shows, it's a little up and down. Sometimes there's not a lot. We've had one show that we had over 50 on-demand for, and it was tremendous, on the demand for that one. That was Wednesday's Child. That's the one that's had the most on-demand call. But mostly, we probably sell 20 to 30 tickets for on-demand.
Well, shout out to Katie Callahan of St. Petersburg, who directed Fly Away Home and did a wonderful job. And again, shout out to you guys, to the cast, because it's an amazing show. Through the 19th, you can go to labtheaterproject.com for tickets and more info. Mandy, what's next for you? What are you doing after this one?
I'm still looking to see what we have lined up. I've got some auditions. I'm definitely looking to get... do more theater around Tampa.
Yeah.
I'm in the artistic ensemble at Lab. So, this is audition season sort of. So I'm still seeing what I'm going to put on the books.
Right. Well, let me put in a plug for St. Petersburg too, because we've got several very cool theater companies over here, and including, the Off Central, which has a whopping 42 seats. It's just this black box, but it's very cool. We've talked about this before, Owen. And there's Free Fall on American Stage, and a lot of great stuff on both sides of the debate. Okay, Owen Robertson, Mandy Keene, what a pleasure.
Thank you very much,
Bill.
We're happy to be here.